Well, let's go to the phones real quick. Might have a little something special after that. Going to Brad. Yes, sir.
How are you, sir?
I'm good.
Good. Didn't Nikki Haley start this property tax thing 10 years ago or 12 years ago when she was in office?
Yep.
Trying to reduce them?
Is this, are you a bad Brad?
No, I am not. I am one of your biggest fans. I watch you shoot, follow you every day of the week, brother.
But do I call you bad, Brad?
I don't know. Do you?
I don't know. You just sound like one of my sponsors. Are you one of those?
Have no, I do not.
Okay. Anyway, you say I have a very long-term guy who does all the things you just talked about. I saw your text about this, where they said within the next 4 to 8 years they would be gone. Can we call that a campaign promise that was never kept?
Well, we can, but why aren't the legislators of the state fighting for us as the citizens?
Well, you know,
10 years into, we're 10 years into McTaxter.
Yes, we are. That was my question. But, I mean, our legislature never is the first. Have you ever noticed that? We're never the first to do something.
We can't be, except when it comes to war. But that goes to Washington,
yeah,
because we got somebody up there that loves to be a warmonger. But I'm just talking about state.
Right.
Why have we been talking about this for over 12 years and nothing's happened over it?
Well, because my guess would be that they don't plan on doing anything with it. That it's just talk, it's just words, it's just sounds. And it works. Look, they got voted for, right? Nikki Haley, she won. She became the governor and then got reelected as governor. It works.
Well, regardless, it's time to change the Republican Party.
No kidding. Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm not saying go to the other side of the fence. But it's time to get more conservatives involved and the whole nine yards.
Totally agree with you, sir. Totally agree with you.
I appreciate
you taking the time to clarify the text, because I saw that and I was like, I was going to look that up, but here you are calling in. So thank you very much for that. And Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you and all of us vets that are out there doing it every day.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Have a good day, sir.
Thank Bye. You. Bye. Lonzo, did we find it? So, thanks due to the good nature and the at the permission of Upstate Pulse. This is something that Lonzo asked me to do a long time ago, and he's kept it around, and I just want to share it with you. For you and your children, 'twas the night before Christmas, Frady style.
The Upstate Pulse presents A Night Before Christmas with Bill Frady.
'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. Mouse or vermin? Only one way to kill vermin. A 6-inch or a 12 or an 18-inch knife. Wait, that's three ways. Squeak, 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 I tell you, squeak. Where was I? Sorry. And Mom in her kerchief and I in my Kevlar cap had just settled our brains for our long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to take care of the matter. And if you're looking for the best way to defend your compound from intruders, I suggest gators. A whole lot of gators. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave a luster of midday to objects below. Which is why you should never wear red in winter. When what to my wondering eyes did appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer. And what is the optimum weapon for deer hunting? I choose the 88 Magnum. You can take out all 8 at once, bag them, tag them, and that's good eating. Now Uzi, now Beretta, now Luger and Strap. On AK, on Glizzy, on Glock, and Gat. pretty sure that's what I heard. Those are some cool reindeer names for your reindeer games. Reindeer games. That was a good movie. Charlize Theron topless. Pre-Lieutenant Dan Garasinis. I love that movie. But I digress. And then in a twinkling, I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. Or maybe it was dancing and clawing of raccoons and possums. For those kinds of critters, I use a nice 12 gauge. Mine is beige. As I drew in my head and was turning around down the chimney, St. Nicholas came with a bound. Now, some may say that a bear trap is too much to stop home invaders, but I say go big or go home. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. There's no need to dread with my favorite Christmas gift this year. It's the 88 Magnum Mark II. It'll make your holly jolly. And laying a finger aside of his nose and giving a nod up the chimney, he rose. He sprang up to his sleigh, to his team, gave a whistle. And away they all flew like the down of a thistle. What the heck is a thistle? But I heard him exclaim ere he drove out of sight. Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night. On behalf of the Frady family, Merry Christmas.
Courtesy of Upstate Pulse. How old is that now, Lonzo? Three? Third airing, yeah. Yeah. I had a lot of fun with that. I kind of thought we would do that every year, but what's the point, right? When you hit it like that, why just let it sit by itself? Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. No need to remake it. No need to remake like the Charlie Brown Christmas or anything. So we've left it alone, and I thoroughly enjoyed that. And Lonzo, who has worked with me since, Lonzo was the first guy that ever worked with me at WORD when I filled in for Vince Coakley way back when in 2015. And so he knows me well enough to know, hey, I'm going to play to your strengths, you bald one. Did you write what is a thistle, or did I just make that up? Okay, I kind of thought that was because I would never have questioned that. But. Well, I knew what a thistle was. It, right? What's a thistle? Yeah. I still don't know what it is. I think I've looked it up too, but I've only ever heard it one other time, and that was in the Book of Eli thing when he's about to kill everybody in the bar. He says thistle in part of his oratories. He's gone there. So I was like, huh, thistle must be a dangerous thing. Anyway, I always tune in to see this because it's interesting to watch my colleagues there at Upstate Pulse and see their reactions to it. And of course, I got a couple of chuckles out of it, but they've heard it two or three other times before that. So anyway, that's my Christmas card to you, listening area. And thank you for Lonzo for putting that together, and courtesy of Upstate Pulse every Saturday, what, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. right here at 98.9 WORD. Merry Christmas to all. Now then, contrary to what the New York Times says, I think homeschooling is probably still a much better alternative today than public schools. I will explain. This is News Talk 98.9 WORD. You ought to have a really, really good reason to write a New York Times piece trashing your dead mom, because Stephon Merrill Block did not. But he went ahead anyway, and he wrote a piece headlined, "Homeschooled Kids Are Not All Right." Now, see, Stefan, he had a mom that was sort of, shall we say, fixated, I guess, on certain parts of, I don't know. I don't know. Of him being, you know, young. He wrote, by my third year of homeschooling in 1994, when I was 12, mom's project of turning me back into an infant was nearly complete. And to demonstrate this, he said to his readers that his mom had been applying lighteners and hydrogen peroxide to restore my brownish hair to the bright blonde of its baby color. Also, after reading that a crawling phase might help an infant develop fine motor control, she determined that even at age 12, it might not be too late for me to crawl my way to better handwriting. That's it, I guess. Bleached hair. I mean, isn't that still trendy today? Bleached hair? And having a 12-year-old crawl to improve fine motor control is nutty. But he doesn't tell me how long she did this. And that would be an important bit of information to give his readers. Regardless, as crazy educational ideas go, it's still less insane than trying to teach kids to read without phonics, which the education establishment has been doing for decades. And that is the necessary context and contrast. Homeschooling can go wrong. Government-run schools constantly go wrong, from sexual abuse to abject academic failure to ideological insanity, of which gender ideology is one of my latest, most loony expressions that I see out there them doing. And despite their claims to prioritize education, the very worst schools tend to be in solid blue cities and states. Now, Mr. Block does acknowledge that abuse at schools does happen, and he wants to use the few years he was homeschooled to attack homeschooling as a whole, and he doesn't spend much time addressing the alternatives. Now, I think parents have perfectly good reasons to keep their kids out of government-run schools. I have no idea what goes on here, but in various other places, like in Loudoun County, they covered up a rape that was ideologically inconvenient. Then, just before the start of this school year, a Loudoun elementary school teacher was arrested for soliciting a minor. And the school board is being sued over their policy allowing students to use wrong sex facilities like locker rooms and for punishing kids who object. If there's ever a place to homeschool, it'd be in Loudoun County. But that's just a small sample. Now, mistrust of government schools is not the only reason parents choose to homeschool. And Mr. Block himself seemed to realize that, and instead his parents sent his brother to public school, and they weren't totally anti-school or anti-public school. His mother just thought little Stefan was a poor fit. And she might have been right, because he obviously has some social issues. He seems, by his own telling, to have been one of those awkward children. He said, after just a day or two of Boy Scout camp, I actively tried to contract conjunctivitis so I could be sent home early. Not hard to blame his parents for thinking that he would fare poorly in a public school. And if they'd sent him to school for those years, would he now be writing about how his mother sent him off to be miserable and bullied in public school? Now, I don't find it unreasonable to believe that people spend some school years being unhappy and lonely. I totally get it. It's hard to believe that attending a public middle school or a junior high would have fixed that, let alone that it would have stopped problems such as the long AOL instant messenger romance that he carried on with a supposed teenage girl who in fact turned out to be an older sexual predator. He does say his mom had to take on part-time work at a certain point, and as a result, he spent many afternoons in his room. But does he think that those hours spent alone would have been much better if they'd begun after school, let out? And he did not write that life improved much or at all when he stopped homeschooling. Now, he says he used to be more positive about this. But, however, he seems to have made those few years into an identity. And the memoir he's selling is titled Homeschooled, and a scapegoat for his unhappy entry into adolescence. And he's turned this personal bitterness into a cause. Yeah. He whined that it was a lack of state oversight or standards that allowed our situation. It was the laws that failed me. Today, as homeschooling numbers continue to surge, similar laws failed to protect millions of kids. But millions of kids don't need to be protected from homeschooling because they're doing great. Now, Block grudgingly concedes that homeschooling often works very well, admitting that homeschool advocates point to a multitude of homeschool successes under current laws, and there are a great many. I know three of them. My grandchildren are homeschooled. And what makes that good is because each one of them is a unique individual. So for the ones that like to do this, they concentrate on that, like reading or something like that. For those that are more interested in math or whatever it is, but they play to their strengths while at the same time maintaining a very steady push on all the fundamentals. And I see no issues. None. Now, Block grudgingly conceded that, but he points to a multitude of homeschool successes, and it's varied in purpose and method and duration, and some families are very dedicated to parent-taught curriculum all the way through high school. Others use co-op approaches part of the time or only homeschool for a few years. Some try it and realize it isn't for them. And the whole point of homeschooling is that it is not the one-size-fits-all factory-style approach to educating children favored by the public and many private schools. There are homeschool field trip groups and sports teams and so on. And the teaching quality is often better in homeschooling as well. Some homeschooling parents are more credentialed than anybody teaching at the local public schools. And those who aren't, it doesn't take a degree to teach a five-year-old phonics. Indeed, it was educators with more degrees in sense that stopped teaching kids phonics. Now, Block claims that he just wants to protect children from abuse and neglect, but his very nebulous ideas of what that means would put all homeschoolers at risk of being unjustly targeted by government officials. Anything that takes the government out of your family, I like. Anything. Homeschooling, I just don't see it. Now, especially not with what we're seeing in public schools, I'm just not watching that develop around here. Just not seeing it. Here we are very close to home, and, well, Democrat mayor decided that she was going to take down a nativity scene, and, well, that got shot down quite spectacularly. This is News Talk 98.9 WORD. As an aside, I was getting some questions about where they could get a recording of "Twas the Night Before Christmas," and just sort of made me think. Lonzo, do you think you could wear silk suits and wear your hair in a ponytail and smoke big fat cigars? Okay. Well, I don't. But see, I was just thinking that you could be like a mogul radio record producer, and we could just record all kinds of other stuff, and we could just sell it. Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, it could be an act, you know. It could be an act. You could act like you're slimy. Could you act like you're slimy? Okay. Well, I'm just thinking. I mean, don't record producers make out like? I mean, isn't what was it? What was the name of the group? TLC. TLC, the female rap group. They were filing bankruptcy while they were number one on the charts, right? Hey, that's right. That's right. So, I mean, you could be the person that's making the money, and I could be the one filing bankruptcy. Yeah? Yeah? TLC? A record producer? Yeah. I don't think it's like it used to be. They used to like... Well, Stone Man wears flip-flops 365 days out of a year. He does. The only time... Well, let's not get too much off on Stone Man there. I mean, Stone Man is a... He's a legend, isn't he? I think he's a legend. I don't understand how he doesn't, you know, succumb to hypothermia. Just a food for thought, you know, as we go into the 2026, we could be sitting back and you'd be like, you know, nobody's reimagined the Cat in the Hat. And we could do that. We could... Think. That's right, for free, and then we don't get to wear silk suits and file bankruptcy. You know, I'm just thinking out loud, just musing. Anyway, coming out of Mullen, South Carolina, which I confess I have no idea where Mullen, South Carolina is, but there they have a Democrat mayor, Miko Pickett. And she apparently ordered the removal of a modest nativity scene. You see, the Mullins Beautification Committee decided around Thanksgiving to put up a Christmas display funded on their own dollar in hopes of drawing more customers to the downtown area. You know, come check out the holiday display and maybe spend a few bucks on local business strategy. Among the decorations were wreaths, lights, of course, a snowman, and a Santa Claus to create a festive Hallmark-like atmosphere. But also features when you hear the dimensions of this nativity scene, 3x4, 3 feet by 4 feet. And that raised the ire of Pickett, who reportedly texted Kimberly Byrd, head of the committee, and asked her to take it down. And Pickett did not want to offend the residents of other faiths and beliefs in the community. Do all the other faiths observe Christmas, Mayor? Now, Byrd told the Fox News Digital that the mayor's action shocked her and seemed to stem from a fundamental misunderstanding of the true meaning of Christmas, especially celebrated in small towns like Mullins, South Carolina. So, naively, she also thought a moment or two of reflection on Pickett's part would yield a change of mind. She said, it's a faith-based community in the Bible Belt. I've been here 53 years of my life. I never heard of anything like this happening. Christ is why we celebrate Christmas. I really thought she would probably change her mind and come back and say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Let's have a meeting about this. But no, none of that. So, instead, what did her honor do? She did what all great politicians do now to explain their stupidity. She got on Facebook. She said, I requested that the nativity scene be removed solely from the public parking area. The reason for this is the separation of church and state applies to municipalities as well. Regarding religious symbols on public property and parks, we are a community composed of various ethnicities and religious beliefs. Both my family and I are deeply rooted in our own beliefs. I wanted to emphasize that I've never stated that nativity scenes should be prevented or prohibited in Mullins. Well, listen. Here's my thoughts on this, Your Honor. Just let the thing be. Somehow or other, back in the 60s, when I'm sure we had Muslims in the 60s and we had other people of other faiths here in the United States in the 60s, somehow in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, we managed to have those things and not offend a soul. This is probably why I'm not in charge of nothing. You can't have Christmas without Christ. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Chuck. Yes, sir.
Man, I just wanted to tell you that get the Frady family Christmas card. Was it? That was most awesome, sir. And I will. I'll be starting a new job tomorrow, so I doubt I'll ever get to call you. I'm hating it for you. But
what are you going to be doing?
Merry. doing Ford and Chrysler parts, what I should have been doing for the last 2 years, but
okay,
just Helene got in the way and other things got in the way. But yeah, it's certainly a step in the right direction.
Outstanding.
And yeah,
congratulations.
It's a good Christmas present, and thank you, man. Thank you. But yes, I won't be able to listen live anymore because I'll be in charge of the parts department, sort of.
That's why they have
so
the Odyssey.
I won't get to listen.
And they have the Odyssey.
Yeah, and I do.
AirPods.
That's what I listen on most times anyway.
Right.
And I highly recommend it. But yeah, man, I just really wanted to say thank you for a fun year and let me have my say.
Yeah.
Again, I always say this is the last bastion of free speech for your common man, and it's cool that we have this in America, and I really don't think we appreciate what you guys do and what you represent as far as free speech. You know what I mean? I just wanted to wish you a Merry Christmas, and I'm going to miss 2A Tuesdays, and I am a recommendation, real quick, if I may.
Sure.
It's a Federal Premium. It's a silver 29 grain punch. It's called punch, just like a hammer and a punch.
There you go.
And man, that stuff flies at like 10 to 15 yards out of a 4 1/4, as flat as it can be, and it's a pretty good round. I like it. The 22, the Hammerly likes it. Anyway, I just wanted to say thank you and wish everyone out there a very Merry Christmas, and good for you calling it Christmas. Bringing out the name, because that's what we need more of.
There you go.
Appreciate you, my brother.
Thank you, sir. Merry Christmas to you. Yeah, I don't, Pickett's Grinchy attitude. See, there's a 1984 U.S. Supreme Court case, Lynch v. Donnelly. A 5-4 majority ruled that cities may display a nativity scene on public property if it's part of a broader holiday display, which is what Mullins put up. It's part of a broader holiday display. And, okay, the Grinchy attitude is an attempt to defy basic decency, but it's also trying to defy Supreme Court precedent, which allows nativity scenes in mixed holiday displays. Sometimes, Your Honor, you should just learn one. Sometimes it's just better to just shut up. And you look a lot smarter that way, Your Honor. Your Honor. Is there going to be a GOP civil war in 2028, and who might lead that? This is News Talk 98.9 WORD. All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Rob. Yes, sir.
Hello.
How you
doing, sir?
Hey.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
Yes, sir. I was just want to say, I just moved up to South Carolina. I'm in Westminster. And that Mullins thing really got to me. I just moved up, and my Christmas lights say, Happy Birthday, Jesus.
Okay.
And I have had nothing but all my neighbors come around. That's how I met all my new neighbors and friends and all. And I hope the rest of the country doesn't look bad on, look down on South Carolina. And I hope that the lady, the mayor, and Mullins, I hope she's a poster child for getting rid of women's suffrage. I don't think she'll know.
Now, listen, another woman put her in place and said, nope, ain't happening. We're not going to be taking that down. Yeah, so, I mean, you know. So, you know,
yeah,
one for, one against.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Thanks for working today.
Hey, I'll be working tomorrow and the day after, too. And the day after Christmas. So
I want to see you upstate.
Well, that'll be – we'll be up there on the 28th, I think. That's the next time we're scheduled to be up there. We're going to be there last week, but they had an issue. Huh?
Yes, sir. I've got a service dog. I'm an Air Force veteran. And I'll be up there. I'll see you up there.
Roger that. Look forward to it.
Thanks, sir.
Yes, sir. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you, sir.
Yes, sir. Now then, I talked about him before, right? But it's starting to feel like we've seen this movie before. Back in 2008 and again in 2012, Ron Paul built an entire presidential campaign around the idea that the Republican Party had lost its way, that true conservatism meant clinging to a purist version of libertarian economics. And those vanity campaigns became minor cult movements. And they were more concerned with ideological purity than in building something that would win. And I'm starting to wonder with Rand Paul if it's about to repeat itself. And, you know, his comments this week didn't do much to calm that suspicion. He was on ABC's this week and used a question about the 2028 presidential race as an opening to launch a broader ideological critique of where he believes the Republican Party's headed. And he was asked about... Marco Rubio said that if J.D. Vance runs in 2028, he would be one of the first ones to run to, you know, to support him. So Rand Paul didn't want to answer that question. Instead, he said, I think there needs to be representatives in the Republican Party who still believe international trade is good, who still believe in free market capitalism, who still believe in low taxes. Now, do you know the problem with that? He's making out that that's not going on right now. He's making out that Trump, who is using tariffs to make international trade better, who's opening up the markets, and he's trying to do away with income tax. He wants to do away with income tax. He's trying to make out that that's not going on now. And he drew a sharp contrast between what he described as traditional conservatism and their growing protectionist wing. And he said defining the difference between conservatives and liberals once centered on spending restraint, not tax hikes. Except then he used the word liberal there. You know, they're not liberal, Senator Paul. So he thinks that his role is to push back against this shift, regardless of who ultimately leads the ticket in 2028. He said, so I'm going to try to continue to lead a conservative free market party wing in the party, and we'll see where things lead over time. Now, I got no problem with somebody that will not compromise principle. But there becomes a... We all come to a time where we have to finally say to ourselves, how are you going to put that in place if you're not in place? How are you going to make that work if you're not the guy? You got to figure out how to put something together that would win. And Rand Paul has plenty of great ideas. It's just that he burned a lot of things. He burned a lot of people don't, they're just not listening to him, to anything he has to say. And that really is too bad. I think Senator Paul has plenty of great ideas. I just think that some of the problem has to do with personality sometimes. Now, he's already tested the presidential waters once in 2016, and that went nowhere. And while it will look different in 2028, the end result might look familiar because Paul's brand of politics is a tough sell. Because it's very difficult to be ideologically rigid. You have to be, politics should be a very flexible game if you intend to be effective. I think Rand Paul is a wasted talent just because of some of the things he does, because he has some of the best ideas I've ever heard. He takes some of the best positions I've ever heard, but then he gets out there and he will not move. And that's okay in certain things, but I mean, in certain disciplines, absolutely it's okay. And, you know, self-defense, I am completely unyielding, but I'm not in politics, see? I'm not in politics. So I just found that interesting. He's trying to make out like, well, that's not happening right now. Sure it is, Rand. You're just not paying attention. Coming up next, it is going to be the Charlie James Show. And this is News Talk 98.9 WORD, the voice of the Carolinas.